I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians with me tonight, please. The book of Philippians. There's three little phrases that jumped out at me, and I use a King James Bible all the time, but I don't use the same King James Bible all the time. And some of my Bibles are falling apart, and some of them have some notes in them. But if I have ever seen this before, I don't recall it. But I want to look tonight at the importance of our mind. And there's three phrases that I want to call your attention to in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. And then we'll be in some different places in the book of Philippians. And I appreciate this book, don't you? I appreciate the Lord. And I appreciate prayer and the privilege to pray. I appreciate people that pray for us. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. In chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, said, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." I just now remembered Brother Mays Jackson, Brother Ralph, years ago. I heard him preach, and Brother Mays, he just all the time picking. Somebody said to him, "You know how to get the deacons in one mind and one accord?" Brother Mays said, "No, how's that?" He said, "What you do is you get them all in the same car. It needs to be in accord. And invite them for steak." Amen. Amen. He just cut up, Brother Mays was, all the time. And he said here, "One mind, one accord," or "one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." How many knows the flesh wants no part of that right there? Amen. I'm telling you, the flesh wants absolutely no part of that. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I wish I would have known that verse years ago when I stopped to witness to a lady. And Brother Herman Anderson and I, he was preaching revival for me when the first church I pastored in Wise, and we were out witnessing, soul winning, and inviting people to church, inviting people to Christ. And one of the afternoons during the week when he was over in Wise and Revival, and three teenagers, two of them were brothers and sisters, but three teenagers under a gazebo got saved by the grace of God. They heard the gospel, they understood the gospel, and they received Christ as their Savior. And I couldn't get them to come to church. And finally... one of them, just in a very humble way, said, "Preacher, we can't come." And I said, "Why not?" They said, "Mom won't let us." And when they said that, I didn't get mad. I just determined the right thing to do now is go after Mom. You know, just try to win Mom to Jesus. Amen. Then there won't be a problem. I went and knocked on the door. Long story short, she told me to mind my own business. In no uncertain terms, she told me to mind my own business. I was turning and going down off of the porch, and she was in the process of closing the door, and I just threw my finger out and said, "Ma'am, can I ask you one thing?" I said, "If I were coming down..." The name of the road was Polebridge Road. I said, "If I were coming down Polebridge Road and I looked over here and this mobile home was on fire, I said, would you want me to stop, beat on the door, beat on the windows, see if you or your children or somebody was inside that I might be of assistance to, that I might help? Or would you want me to just go on down the road and mind my own business?" And she said to me, "Well, I'd appreciate if you'd stop." I said, "Well, that's why I stopped, ma'am." I said, "You're headed for a lot worse fire than a mobile home being on fire." and I care about you. Amen. But the Bible said, look not every man on his own things, but every man on also on the things of others. When Jesus said he was about his Father's business, Jesus' whole ministry was not about himself. Amen. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. It was about others. And then he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being made in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How many is glad God's working in you tonight? Boy, I tell you what, he's not just working in me, he's working on me. Would somebody help me tonight? Amen. I love that. They say it's a children's song, but man, I tell you, the adults ought to sing it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. The Word of God said here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Miss Eve, you don't need to remember that now while I'm working around the house, okay? You forget that verse. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, whom among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I know I preached out of that text not too long ago. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the blessing of the Word of God, and Lord, being able to read it. Some can't see. Some, Lord, they only read the Word of God in Braille, but Lord, we're able to see and to read. We're able to hear. We're grateful for that tonight. And Lord, we're able to understand only because the Spirit of the living God, the author of this book, lives in us. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd say something to your people that would encourage them tonight. I pray you would touch those that are sick tonight, Lord, those that are going through times of testing. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just help them along the way. It's so good, Lord, to see our people coming back in. And Lord, I pray for those that have not yet come back, even through this entire two-year period. And Lord, I pray that you'd just speak to their hearts. Help them to know they're missed. Help them to know, Lord, there's a blessing, Lord, for them in the house of God. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to call your attention tonight to three phrases. In verse number 2, the phrase like-minded. And then in verse number 3, the phrase lowliness of mind. And then in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and I wrote in the margin of my Bible, the Lord's mind, just for the sake of alliteration. Like-minded, lowliness of mind, and the Lord's mind. I think about tonight when you go back in the scripture here in the book of Philippians, I believe the people of Philippi had a special place in Paul's heart. The Bible said in verse number 6 in chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. And he said, even as it is meet for me, watch this phrase, to think this of you all. Do you remember in the book of Proverbs, the Bible said in chapter 23 and verse number 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I believe if we're thinking, we'll be a thankful people. And I believe that I don't know how many times that I just be in the process of doing something in a daily walk, and God puts somebody on my mind, and I'm thinking about them. And listen, sometimes I let it slip. I actually sent a text today that's probably a week late, but I did send it because it was to say thank you. And I know the Lord put it on my heart a long time ago. Sometimes we get busy and we let things slip. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're walking with the Lord and God puts something on your mind, I promise you it's important. Amen. And it'll be a blessing. And this young man, Brother Steve, what a blessing it would be to see this young man's life spared, to see it changed, to see him, Sister Cindy, have the peace, to know when he lays down at night, if he never wakes up, he's going to wake up in a better place. Amen. That'd be a blessing tonight. And I was praying a while ago, and Brother Michael and Sister Tanita have been bringing Emmy and Jason and Nathaniel with them on Wednesday night. And just what a blessing that there's some young people that are interested. I didn't see any handcuffs on you all. They didn't force you to come, did they? Amen. I tell you, Emmy, what I say about my dad never did make me do anything. He just told me to do it, and if I didn't, he made me wish I had. Amen. I didn't know if you all was operating under that guise or not. Amen. But we're glad you're here, and it means a lot to pastor and our people. To not be, Brother Steve, in those 10 years I traveled with Rock of Ages, I can't tell you how many times I was the youngest person in the auditorium. And it shouldn't be that way. Amen. Look, these babies, they're important to the Lord. They're important to the church. Amen. And I'll give you this tonight. I'm talking about thinking. Thinking. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Look in verse number 27 of chapter 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Watch this now, with one mind. The mind is important. I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, most battles are won and lost on the battlefield of the mind. Another thing that I heard somebody say years ago, and I think it's true, is every deed was once a thought. And Paul, when he was preaching to the people at Corinth, he talked about bringing into captivity. Beloved, I'll tell you this, I'm not there yet. Amen. But like Brother Mitchell said, we ought to work at it. Amen. I believe that. Listen, they have to be brought under. Every one of us has got that old stinking flesh, but that mind is a battleground. Amen. And I can't tell you the preachers down through the years that I've had the privilege to know and hear preach. I mean, listen, some of them have actually took their own life. Amen. And I'm talking about good preachers, sound preachers. You say, Pastor, what in the world would be going on in a situation like that? There's a battle going on. Amen. If you don't know it, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a blessed man of God. But he battled depression day in and day out. Amen. And listen, we never know what another's going through. But I do know this. Paul said, one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. I'll say this tonight. When we say like-minded, one mind. I know that there's some phrases here that I've brought to your attention before, but I think it's important. The Bible talks about the faith of the gospel right here in chapter number 1 and verse 27. In chapter 1 and verse 12, it talks about the furtherance of the gospel. Brother Steve, if Harmony Missions came into being and works at it for 20 years, and that one young man gets what he needs, it'd be worth it all. It'd be worth it all. Brother Grizzle, if you support that missionary for 25 years and he wins one soul to Christ, a lot of people make the mistake. They say, well, there's just not much happening in this field or that field. Honey, all the fields aren't equal. Some of them are hard. Amen? Hard soil takes years. There's been some great missionary stories where it took years of praying and years of plowing with the gospel before the ground ever finally broke up and God began to give fruit. Amen. Beloved, he talks about the faith of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. Then in chapter number 1 and verse number 5, I believe I'm safe to say this tonight. I don't believe there's a soul in this building tonight. It's not because of the fellowship that we have in the gospel. I've been saying something for years. It's because of the cross that our paths have crossed. There's no other reason, amen, that we know one another and come to church together and fellowship together and pray one another except for the fact that one time or another, all of us came by way of the cross and trusted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. One mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Brother Steve was talking a while ago about Brother Brian. It's coming upon a year anniversary of his home going. And Brother Griswold, we talked a lot. He and I, we fellowshiped a lot. And it was precious. But I know one thing that Brother Brian picked up on in our meetings back there when we would meet together. And that was this. None of us was in there to get our way. We just wanted to go in there and try to find God's way. And just find the mind of God, amen, about any given thing. And I'm telling you, it left an impact in his life. He'd talk about it often, amen. And I think that's so, so important, amen, in the home, in the church. What if it could be that way in our country? What if a bunch of people could get together in Congress and say, wonder what the mind of the Lord is concerning this thing? I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not the mind of the Lord for a fellow to stack 10 stakes and walk out with them and nobody can do anything about it. Somebody help me tonight. It's not the mind of the Lord for a fellow that's got a drug problem to furnish what he needs to take the stupid drugs. They put a fellow on the spot yesterday. Said, what if it was your child? They couldn't get him to say, oh yeah, I'll go buy him the crack pipes. I'm going to tell you something. What dresses up in the guise of compassion is not always compassion. The Word of God says, speaking the truth in love. Somebody needs to help them to understand there's a better way. That way is Christ. That way is the gospel. That way, you know, Brother Steve, this man's lonely. But boys, I tell you what, if he ever understands and gets a hold of the fellowship of the gospel, God put him in a place, amen, where he can love people and people can love on him and help him along the way, amen. What a blessing that would be. So we see the Word of God said, like-minded. Let me say this to you, just a couple of things I looked at in the Scripture here tonight. I believe we ought to be the same in our loving. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said here. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Did you know that God is love? And that, listen, there is really no real love, that agape love, apart from the God of heaven. Having the same love. We ought to be the same in our loving. We ought to be the same in our living. And the Word of God said in verse number 21, for me, chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So the same mind ought to help us to be the same in our loving. It ought to help us to be the same in our living. But Brother Ralph, I couldn't help but think about it when you were singing the opening song tonight, about shouted, amen, this world is not my home, amen. And we ought to be the same in our longing. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Paul said, beloved, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I'm here and I'm there. I'm here and I'm there. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He had a longing in his heart. You say, Pastor, how did he know? Well, some would say, well, he had a leg up on us.
Because you remember, he was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. I don't believe he had a leg up on us. We got a Bible that's complete that he didn't even have at that time. Amen. We done got over there in the book of Revelation with John. He said, Pastor, Paul saw it. Sure, he had a longing. Honey, if you'll read your Bible, you can see what's in store for the children of God too. Amen. It'll put a longing in your heart for the things on the other side. Amen. Oh, I appreciate the Bible, don't you? We're going to be the same in our leaving. He said, now, Pastor, we may not leave the same way. Oh, but there's a whole lot of things the same about our leaving. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ, sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And so tonight, we looked at the phrase, like-minded. Look at the phrase first, if you will, secondly, in chapter number 2 and verse number 3, lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Listen, that is just the opposite of lowliness of mind. I've told this story before, but it illustrates it better than anything I can think of. My pastor years ago was in a deacon's meeting, and the church was needing new pews. If you've heard me tell it before, I promise you there's somebody here tonight that hasn't heard it. The church was needing new pews. The pastor, I really think that a pastor tries to look after the church, don't you? He don't want to waste, amen, and the pastor had found a good deal on some pews, but they were made out of pine. My pastor at the time was not a preacher or a pastor. He was a deacon. And he spoke up in that meeting and he said, Pastor, I believe it would make it be a mistake for us to buy those pews. He said, I'm pine just does not hold up. And anybody that ever built furniture, you know if you glue pine together, it ain't the same as gluing oak together. Amen. And putting oak together. And anyway, they talked about it a little bit, but he said, it's what he said. This is lowliness of mind. It's a perfect example of it. He said to those men and his pastor, he said, I will not bring contention about this. It's not that I have to have my way. He said, if you all and the church decide to buy pine pews, I'll buy the first one. And if you decide to buy oak pews, I'll buy the first one. What a good spirit, Brother Steve. That's lowliness. Do you all understand? Listen to me. There are people in this world that would say something like this. Well, if you're that ignorant, you're going to waste that money on pine pews. I'm out of here. You say, Pastor, they wouldn't say that. You ain't been around as long as I have. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, listen, listen. Lowliness of mind. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. All of us get that backwards once in a while. Amen? But I'm telling you, beloved, lowliness of mind. Thinking of others, not for strife, not vainglory, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. The flesh wants absolutely no part of that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The Bible teaches that that's why we should work. Not only to provide for our own family, but we might have to give to him that don't have anything. Amen? That's what the Word of God teaches. Amen? Now, it also teaches if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. But there's some people, listen to me, there's a big difference in won't work and can't work. There's a huge, huge difference. Amen? I'm telling you, beloved, God wants us to understand tonight we can be like-minded, we can exhibit lowliness of mind. With that in mind, wonder what it would have been like to talk to Jesus. I believe that Jesus just gave off that air of humility. unless you were a Pharisee. You probably thought he was pretty rough if you were a Pharisee or a Sadducee, because they were the ones that, listen, remember what he said? He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. He couldn't help those who couldn't see their need of help, but he could help the sinner, lowliness of mind. And then he said in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'll close out with this tonight. We look at the Lord's mind. First of all, I want you to look at the Lord's attitude towards service. The Bible said here, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That ought to bless our hearts tonight. No wonder that Peter and Paul, others in the Word of God, didn't mind to open their book, Brother Preston, with these words, Paul, a servant of God. You say, well, Pastor, was he building himself up? No, he was just thankful to be a servant of God, just to be a servant of God. Our attitude toward service. I heard a story years ago, and I'm not sure if it's true or not, but everything that went wrong in a plant, everything that went wrong, they blamed it on one man. And one Friday, the boss came out, and he only had one paycheck. And he gave it to that man that they blamed everything on. They said, what's going on here? He said, evidently, he's the only one around here doing anything, because nobody else in all these years has ever made a mistake. I'm going to tell you something right now. In the service of God, we'll make some mistakes. But aren't you glad that God will forgive us for our mistakes? Aren't you glad he'll allow us to go on and serve him? Amen. Somebody said he's the God of a second chance. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a whole lot more chances than that with him. His mercy's new every day, every morning. Amen. His attitude towards service. The Bible said here in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. Somebody tell me the next word. Service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My beloved, I believe tonight with all of my heart, our attitude towards service is important when you're looking at the Lord's mind. Secondly tonight, our attitude towards sin. You say, Pastor, why would you talk about the Lord's mind? Well, the Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Look over here in verse number 14 of this same chapter, chapter 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be, what's the next word? Blameless. If we have the Lord's mind tonight, then we think of service the way he thinks of service, but we think of sin the way he thinks of sin. I don't know how the Lord's going to lead for Sunday, but he just began today working in my heart. We may follow up on last Sunday's message with another message on Solomon, but it won't be like last Sunday's message. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, beloved, listen, it don't matter how far down the road we are, we need to think like he thinks about sin. Amen? Amen? You say, Pastor, think about sin. You know what I'm talking about. We need to agree with God. A lot of folks are quick to agree with God when it's somebody else's sin, but they're slow to agree with God when it's their own sin. But I'm telling you, the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, the Lord's mind. It'll help us in our attitude towards service. It'll help us in our attitude towards sin. And then thirdly, it'll help us, this young man comes to mind again, in our attitude towards sinners. What's what the Bible said? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, whom among whom you shine as light. Who are we shining for? Amen? What did Jesus say? Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Brother Steve, I hope this young man is overwhelmed. Amen. I hope, as the teenagers say, his phone is blowing up. Amen. Just wanted to say I love you. Just wanted to say I'm praying for you. Just wanted to tell you, listen, I can tell him, when I was 18, I didn't know Jesus either. But there's a better way. Only two ways in this world. There's a broad way and a narrow way. How many knows the narrow way is the better way? Jesus' attitude. When we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, our attitude towards sinners will be the same as his. Look what verse 16 says. Holding forth the word of life. If you don't have a Bible program on your phone, you ought to get you one. You say, now, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Listen, the Bible program that I have, you can copy a verse. You can go to a text or an email, and you can paste the verse. And that verse might be just what somebody needs. If God put it on your heart, amen, there's no substitute for the Word of God. This young man needs to be loved. He needs fellowship. He's lonely. But I tell you what he needs. Word. You say, Pastor, have you lost your mind? No. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad I heard the Word of God when I was lost. I didn't understand it when I was a teenager. Amen. I wasn't running to God. I was running from Him. I didn't have the mind of Christ. I had the mind of Rick. The mind of Rick gets you in a lot of trouble. I'm not talking about Rick Hall either. I'm talking about this Rick. Amen. His mind will too, won't it, Brother Rick? Without Christ, it'll get us in a heap of trouble. How many's glad you come tonight? Like-minded, right? Lowliness of mind, the Lord's mind. Amen. It's important. It's important that we win the battle on the battleground of the mind. I'm closing with this. You think about David. Before David ever went down in the valley, Brother Steve, the battle was won. That God that delivered me from the lion, that God that delivered me from the bear, that same God will deliver me from this giant. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same thing. Daniel, the same thing. Daniel didn't wait till he got down in the lion's den to start praying. Amen. That's what got him in there. And he didn't wait on a decree to start praying. That's how they had to trip him up and accuse him. Let me tell you something else. That was a great day in David's life. But there was another day when he lost the battle. Am I right or am I wrong? He looked, he lusted, he sent for, and it was just like a snowball rolling down the hill. Now there's a baby. Now you got to get the husband killed. Now you got to cover it up. But the Bible said if we cover our sin, we won't prosper. But if we'll confess it and forsake it, we'll find mercy. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Appreciate you being here.